Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode number 18. I'm Manuel Lemos, the always regular host of the podcast. And also, as always, I have here with me Hernani Joppert to comment about all the latest happenings in PHP world and also give his insights about the several interesting topics that we are going to comment about. Hello, Hernani, how are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. Glad to be here again, and I'm doing great.
Okay. It's always good to know that you are doing great when you come to record the podcast, but also with us, we have here a guest that has come to also comment on the several topics that we are going to talk about. Cesar Rodas, a regular contributor of the phpclasses.org site since many years ago. He actually won the yearly Innovation Award a few years ago due to many innovative contributions. Hello, Cesar. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here. Finally, we have talked to have you here before, and finally we made it this time. And we have a specific topic to talk with you because it's pretty much related to what you do. But first, we are going to move on and talk about a bit about the latest happenings in the PHP world. Well, I don't think there are many happenings in the PHP development. Basically, there were two RC releases, release candidate versions that were released to either PHP 5.4 and PHP 5.3.9. Well, there is not really much to say about these releases. They are mainly bug fixes. They fix bugs that were reported by people that are helping to test these new versions. And the only thing that is relevant to mention is that an eventual final release is expected to happen in the next weeks. So those of you that are waiting for the features of these new versions, we'll probably be happy very soon. Cesar, have you been trying, at least PHP 5.4 that has more new things to try?
I was just compiling it and running some tests. Just a couple of minor tests, so not that much. I didn't have time lately, so I couldn't.
Well, okay. Personally, I have mentioned before that I also do not see many new features that interest me in particular, but there are certainly a good set of features that may interest others, like the built-in web server and some type hinting support that was somehow enhanced. And given that, we are going to moving on to another topic of this podcast, which is basically to comment a bit about an article that by the time that we are recording, it was not yet published, but will be in the next day. So when people will be listening to this recording, they will already have access to the actual article, which is basically an article about the interest from the web developers, PHP developers specifically, but web developers in general, in getting opportunities to be working on jobs that can be done remotely, eventually from their homes. Basically, what the article tries to be is just a call for employers that are looking for talented web developers. That I always hear them, many of them complaining that it's hard to find talented web developers because most of them are hired. And the basic hint for them is that many web developers value jobs that provide them the opportunity to work remotely, eventually from their homes, as I said. And given that benefit, I'm sure that those companies that are trying to find talented developers, if they also offer that that privilege to the candidates, I'm sure they will find very easily candidates that can work remotely. Could be either in their countries or in foreign countries. Cesar, you have been working remotely, I think, for a number of years to several companies. You are basically based in Paraguay. It's your country, but from what I understood, you've been working for companies of different countries. Can you tell us a bit more about your experience in working remotely for those companies?
Yes, I started to work remotely like 2 or 3 years ago. I started with some small projects, like a part-time job or a small job of 1 or 2 weeks. Then I realized that I was making even more money in that way, and also getting fun. I mean, I was learning a lot of things, so I decided to move into a full-time job, but from remotely. So I this is my third job now that I'm having, and I'm working full-time, let me think, for 3 years now. Yeah, for 3 years. Yeah. And I can't complain. It is great, because I can manage my time. I am working from my home, so I don't have to take a bus or drive, and there are many other benefits. Right. I'm sure that you have a lot of questions, so feel free to ask me anything about it.
Yeah, actually, thank you for also contributing for the actual article, giving your testimony, because people that are wondering whether is something that can be really work in practice, they have questions, they have doubts that it may work well, and they with this article, the intention was mainly to tell them that there are certain things that they may be worried, that they should not be worried. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because basically you are working for companies that are already open-minded and willing to, do not have a problem to hire people remotely. And some people that have certain objections, they complain about things like meetings should be in the physical presence of the employees and the employers that are involved in the projects. What is your experience with the meetings? Do you have regular meetings? Are they over Skype or some other, over phone or some other means of communication? How does that work in your case?
Well, the first thing is that communication is very, very important. So if there is no communication, chances are that you are going to fail, because it is a different model and you have to communicate. In my case, in this a company that I'm working for, which is Plum Willow Inc., we do have a regular phone calls, like 1 hour a week probably. And sometimes we are just having a group chat or a mailing list. They are different methods, but yes, we do spend like 20% of our time just doing communication, because that is very important.
Okay, but do you think the fact that you are not present in the same office as your boss, whoever is in charge of your work, is affecting? Is there anything that you miss for the fact that you are in the physical presence, or your boss somehow complains of something that they could be missing?
Actually, no. I mean, I'm working for this last company like a year and a half, and I never been there. I never been in the office. So, in my personal case, it doesn't affect because I don't need to be face to face to actually say something or to understand it. But it might be different from person to person. So I would say that it does not matter, but it is my personal case.
Yeah, and another concern is about some employers wonder if the time that you should be working, you probably are not distracting yourself, maybe in social networks or doing something else that you are should not be doing at your work time. How does that work for you? Does your boss somehow control whether you are not working or not, or is it more relaxed?
No, it is very, very relaxing in my case because I can be doing anything, but at the end of my time, which is usually that we are doing a release at every week or at every 2 weeks, depending on our workload, I have to face things. So I might take a vacation of three days and be working like 48 hours without a pause in it, and that works fine. So they want results. They don't care if you are working like 5 hours or 10 minutes. So you have to finish something, and that has to be done. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, do they have any sort of evaluation of your work, of your progress? I don't know if you can comment, because it may be somewhat private to the projects you are working on. But do you use some kind of version control system to commit your work to your company repository, or I don't know if you can comment on that.
Yes, we are using a couple of projects manager sites. I don't know how to say that in a proper way, but we are using, I don't recall its name, I think it's Track, and the other one I don't remember to handle tickets, and we are using Subversion and Git. So they can see that we are working. So
yeah, yes, but that's actually one of the things that I mentioned in the article. That is that when a person is working, it's actually committing code to the repository. So in the case of a web developer, which is always changing files of the projects, the employer can see. What I was wondering is that if your boss actually checks those files that you are heading, I don't know how technical he is, if he's concerned or interested on that.
I asked him about it once, and he told me if I am checking that is because you are in a big trouble. So I believe that as long as I am doing my things, they just don't mind, as long as I am finishing all my duties.
Yeah, so basically he trusts that you are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because somewhat he feels that you are trustworthy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, one other question that I had regarding trust is about company sensitive data. Some employers think that if you are working in their office, you will have more difficulty to take out company sensitive data. And although, I don't know, but in practice, a person that is inside the company can always take data, sensitive information out without the company knowing. I wonder if your boss has any concerns about that, or it's just the same matter of trust.
It is the same matter of a trust. I think I signed a NDA, which is a non-disclosed agreement, when I started. But yes, it is always. I mean, in this company, because everyone working there has a lot of reputation, except me. I mean, I am the only one there that doesn't have a great name. So it is very, very. I mean, they can trust us. I mean, we don't have those issues.
Well, that's great. I wonder, are you the only employee working remotely for that company, or there are more people working for that company either locally or remotely?
Well, in the company, people that are working from the office, as far as I know, I might be wrong, there are like three or four people. And the entire development team, it is distributed. There are a guy in London and another guy in Spain. I'm working from South America. Another friend of mine, he is working from South America. Then three developers from the United States. So that's it. We are like seven developers.
Well, that's actually very interesting. Do you know anybody that is working remotely on either for that company or other companies that we also know, we know about it?
Actually, I think you all know to Derek Rethen. He is an important developer in the PHP community. He is working with the company. I'm trying to think. He started with the company, actually. I joined after that. And then there are another guy. He is submitting patches and contributing with the Cake framework. And they are others that I mean that almost everyone there is having one or two or three open source projects.
Oh, I see. You mean Derek Rethen's core developer PHP?
Yes, the very same one.
That's interesting. Is he your colleague, or do you work on the same project, or somehow he is managing you or something else?
He is working. We are all working on the same project. He is doing another section of it. I mean, I'm working on the back end, and he is doing another thing. And there was a time that I was a temporary project manager, so in theory I managed him for a couple of months, so that was really cool.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought it could be the other way around, because he has been a core developer like for many years, but it's interesting that you have been managing him, because I suppose he would work in a more experienced position, I think.
The thing is that I am a full-time employee and he is not. So he is working like a contractor.
Okay, that explains it. But are you still managing or?
No. I came back to being just another developer there. But those moments.
Yeah, so it was some sort of a temporary thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Anania, I wonder if you have any questions. You have been quite quiet there.
Yes, I was hearing here, but actually I was trying to actually have some time to discuss this with Cesar, because I also been working in the remote work for some time, and actually my life became very, very better about it, because then I can manage my work as well. And aside from my work, I guess it all comes about trust and commitment to the job. And it's also a cultural behavior as well. Yeah. And I would like to ask Cesar about this, if he ever faced any cultural issues. And aside from this, what would be the most difficult situation that he faced in this kind of work? And if he has some challenges about balancing and explaining this situation to friends that sometimes calls him, or by working in a different fuse time as well. It's hard sometimes to balance this this time frame.
Yes, I'm having like issues here at my home, because people, they think that I am doing nothing, and they could start asking me favors, like, can you do these and things like that are really annoying. So I fix that by just moving to a local office. So that was the first issue that I have. In terms of the issues, of the cultural issues, it depends. Thank goodness I never had some issues with people from other countries. Although sometimes in the beginning it was a bit hard, because my English wasn't good. I think now it is better, so all those problems are just gone. But no, I mean, with my experience, which means that I worked for three big companies, I never have any issues. So I might be lucky then.
Yes, Cesar, and I would like to ask for your if you agree with me. And sure. One of those things that it comes to my reasoning here is that the biggest difficulties about working from home is to balance between your personal and your work life. And if you have the flexibility and the trust to actually perform your personal errands, and as well as you have the commitment to sometimes push it a little hard in a code camp to actually get the work done, I guess that then you have the benefit of have more free time to yourself, as well as dedicate the most important times to the company. And the other one would be to ask you if you consider this to be the future of working, especially on when you have to perform some intellectual work aside and then regroup to get your work mixed it up with others between your team.
So for the first question, the answer is yes. It is difficult to find limits between work and personal life. In my case, it is easier, because I'm not married, I don't have a child or anything. So, and plus that my personal hobbies are like a work on open source projects, so I don't have that problem. But I know for some person that it is hard in the beginning, but after a couple of months you will get used to it. So it's just a matter of time. And for the second question, my answer is yes, I believe, because it is better for some companies because you can find talented developers at basically anywhere. In some cases, you can pay them even less money than a local developers. That is working fine for companies and for developers. So I think these will be going. In the next year, so yes, I believe it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Great.
Oh, Ernani, while you were also commenting about also your case, I wonder if you can talk about a couple of things regarding the same things that you asked to Cesar. Do you have also problems, difficulties to deal with matters of personal life and the work life? And in your case, do you work from home, or did you also take the route of Cesar of getting a separate office to do his work and be away from distractions, family, and other stuff?
Yes, I've been doing this for some time now, and yes, the most hard part is to balance between personal life and work life. But sometimes a door in between is enough. But then, if you have a phone, a home phone, you have to have this phone dedicated to your personal life, and you have to have a work phone. That helps a lot as well to separate.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes moving to another location is what it takes, but the benefits are enormous. And
But in your case, you work actually from home, and you have your soul to deal with family issues and stuff, right?
Yes. Yes, I am currently working from home. Sometimes I've had to, because I am in a mobile situation, I can go to the company. Actually, currently I live closer to one of the sites. So if I have any situations, I can try to find a place where I can set up pretty quickly.
Yeah. So it's a bit different from Cesar in the sense that if necessary, you can have presential meetings.
Yeah. But as my team is mostly located in the U.S., it's easier to manage this. And in my company, they provide some special facilities to remote work, such as the VPN and a toll-free number where we can connect between meetings. So that makes it lot easier. But yeah, setting up a nice work environment is a must-have, and try to separate what is work from personal life, as well as sometimes it's hard to balance between your routine because you have different fuse times and you have different seasons.
Yeah.
So actually, in my situation, I have four different work times in a year. Sometimes it's daylight savings here, and it's there as well. Sometimes it's here, it's not there. Sometimes it's there, it's not here.
Yeah.
So those differences can become between 1 to 3 hours in a year. And sometimes I actually leave at 9 p.m., so it's a little bit late in order to do extra tasks. But I believe that the benefit of it, it's way greater than those.
Right. You mean for you, right?
Yeah. And if you communicate well, there is always the time where you can do your work alone. And actually, you can speed up those tasks by yourself. And when you have to be presential, it's easier to actually do what you have to do within the team and regroup with the team, have a conference call, discuss all the major items. And if you have a personal appointment to work on, it's totally comprehensible to have that time dedicated for you, because sometimes you can't do things later. And right. Sometimes you have to go to the bank, or you have to go to the post bank, or such kinds of errands.
Right.
And one of the other situations is when you don't have connection. Sometimes your ISP is broken, so having a backup is always helpful.
Yeah. Do you what kind of backup do you use? Do you use some 3G connection?
In the past I had a 3G connection. But as my ISP currently is very stable, actually I've had only once a problem,
yeah,
and it was quickly solved.
Yeah, for a person that works remotely, well, and needs internet access, not necessarily if you have to work remotely. If you work in an office, you also need internet access, and if all of a sudden your connection goes down, it's a good point to have a backup solution. In my case, I also use a 3G connection that I can use for just a short period of time and not ever to hire a full 3G plan. That would be probably a bit more expensive. Not a big deal, but it's an expense that it's not really necessary. Other than that, one thing that I want to ask you both, it's more regarding the benefits to the employer. Do you think that the fact that you work remotely is so beneficial to the employers? For instance, do you end up working more or produce more because you are working remotely or not?
Yes, please, Cesar, go ahead.
Yes, in my particular case, yes, because I am working, like, I don't have to wake up at 8 in the morning. I can wake up like 10 in the morning or 11 in the morning. I could take my time, and when I prepare, I could start working. So I'm feeling better in this way. I mean, I am feeling happy, and a happy developer is much productive one.
Yeah.
Completely forgot the next question. Can you repeat it, please?
No, actually, it was just that. What I also was wondering is about your perspective, Hernani.
Oh, yes, I totally agree. You kind of work more productive, so you can bring back to the employer a lot of more. Because you are not concerned about waking up at the proper time and be there in the right time. And some kind of micromanagement situations is also sometimes not that much beneficial.
Right.
Because the human behavior is a big factor here.
Yeah, since people everything do not want is to based get on trust. Stressed.
Yeah, since everything is based on trust, there is a common agreement. So there isn't much of those peculiarities that regular work sometimes it's of concern. So
right.
This is a great big factor, especially for developers, which tends to be very different in culture, and sometimes some of them behaves differently, sometimes they don't, so they can feel comfortable in their own situation and bring back what is asked to bring back.
Right. About this topic, we could go on for hours because it's very interesting and relevant to every one of us that works specifically on web development, which is a kind of work that can be done remotely and over the internet, because it's totally related with
yes.
internet. But
I just wanted to make an observation here. Lots of companies could benefit also to employ persons with disabilities, you know.
Because
this is very, very concerning of me, because if someday I have the benefit to found a company myself, I will always care about doing this, because sometimes disabled people, they can be as much productive as regular people, and the ability for them to provide a very comfortable way to work is very, very nice.
Right. Well, as I was saying, basically you could go on for hours, but we need to wrap up on this topic to move on with the topics, the rest of the topics of the podcast, as we getting close to the end. But one final question to you both. For those employers that are reluctant to consider hiring people remotely, eventually to capture more potential candidates that actually have great talent and are very skilled, what would you say to encourage them to actually be more open and take this kind of work setup of having people to work remotely, eventually even from different countries, which is the case of Cesar? Would you say?
Well, I would say that they should try. I mean, that they won't regret it. I mean, depending on the person that they are hiring, right? But if they don't trust it because it is new or anything, name it anyway, they are a lot of products out there that could help, like billing hours or controlling work, or they are many products out there, and also there are a lot of developers out there just looking for jobs. So I think it worth a try. They will have the benefits of having a lot of working hands, so they could do a fine selection, and that is what I can say from my perspective. I can say more because I never hire a developer. But if I may give a couple of hints for those developers, can I?
Sure.
Sure. The first one is to people don't want to read resumes. They are boring and they are lying most of the time. So, do any open source contribution. I mean, I started like having a small project, and then I moved to two or three bigger projects. I'm sending patches, and that is more important than that any resume. In fact, in this last job, I wasn't asked about my CV. I would just ask for my public repositories, and after a couple of days, they say welcome. So
yeah,
that was fantastic. So,
did you also mention your contributions to the PHP classes site and actually the awards that?
Yes.
Do you think that it helped to persuade them to hire you?
Yes. In fact, my very first job was a recruiter from the PHP classes site. I mean, he sent me an email twice saying, "I saw that you are a very good developer. Do you want to join us?" And that is how it started. That was June of 2007 or 2008. So, okay. Yes. Definitely, it helps a lot.
That's good to know.
Yes. So
and the other hint you were mentioning.
Yes, and the second one is the language. English, it's very, very important. Learn it, practice it, talk it as much as you can. That is also important. So those are my tips, my hints.
Okay. What about you, Hernani? What would be your recommendations to the employers? I mean, the companies that could be considering to hire remote workers, but they are not sure about it. What would you tell them to go ahead?
Oh yes, I would indeed take the tip from Cesar to look for good developers over the web. There is a lot of people there, especially on PHP classes and those kinds of platforms that target. They are targeting good developers and contributors, as well as GitHub, which does as they mentioned social coding and. Also, Facebook also helps. LinkedIn is another very nice tool. And when actually finding the appropriate candidate, giving tests also helps, but answers are everywhere.
Yeah.
Actually, I would recommend checking somebody's ability to solve a problem other than knowledge, because knowledge is something that you can acquire. But the ability and flexibility to solve problems is also something that is very beneficial. And recently I've been reading an article about this on, I guess it was IGN, which is a game development portal, that had some weird tasks for selected candidates, which is focused on meritocracy. If they were willing to flip 20,000 burgers for some special dedicated amount of hours just to be hired. This brings a lot into the table, which it brings personality, character, willing to be there. This also, although it sounds very, very weird, most of the Silicon Valley companies are doing this right now.
Yeah.
So, a special recommendation to Brazil and I guess most of Latin America. This culture is most it's more wide and defunded among U.S. and or British cultures, but in Europe you can find companies also willing to hire over the internet. But I've been seeing lots of resistance here in Brazil, and I guess that there is only success when you try.
Yeah.
If you don't try, you never know. So I guess that taking the risk and actually trying to settle to get a good candidate and to provide them the ability to be honest and to actually avoid what Cesar mentioned about all humans lie. It's also a Dr. House theory.
Yeah.
Just provide them the ability to be themselves and don't create difficulties. Just give them the chance to provide, to give results. And I guess that this is what brings the success to the situation.
Okay, we need to move on with our podcast. Just one final remark regarding this topic of working remotely. The PHP Classes site has a job board, a job posting section. And whenever there is a remote a job that can actually allow for workers to do their job remotely, that kind of job gets a lot more candidates, and not just more in quantity, but also I would say in quality, because I can tell that many of the feature developers are apply to those jobs. And when I say feature developers, are often developers that won nominations or in the PHP Programming Innovation Award that PHP Classes site organizes. So that's one way to find more qualified candidates that are willing to work remotely. But okay, moving on with our podcast. Now we are reaching about the end of this podcast. We are just going to a final section on which you comment about the latest classes, objects published in PHP classes site. But first, I'd just like to comment the fact that this month it was implemented finally the support for developers to import packages to publish in PHP classes site from Git repositories. So if you are a developer that have a project that is hosted in somewhere that has runs Git, for instance GitHub or other repository or other sites that provide a Git project hosting, you can now very easily import your projects and publish them in PHP class site, and so get much more exposure. And doing so, you will have much less effort than having to import one file at a time, which was the previous method of importing packages. And now, actually, moving to the actual comments of this podcast on the latest packages. Well, we are practically running out of time, but we'll have some time to comment at least about one or another class from the PHP classes site, and then also we'll comment about the JS classes site. Cesar, from the latest classes that were announced as winners of the PHP classes site Programming Innovation Award of September, which were voted in October, and in November we had the results. Which one would you like to highlight from all of these 13 that were nominated?
Well, the first one is from Menno Viedinga. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. He's from Argentina, and he created a class which is GeoTools, which basically has a bunch of methods for measuring distances between two points. I find his approach very, very interesting. So I gave it a try, and it works really, really fine. And about the JS class, I would talk a little bit about the
we'll move on to the JS classes ahead. We usually do it separately, so
I'm sorry,
we'll get back to you on that. And Hernani, what would be the class that you found more interesting to comment about this month?
Yes. The one that I find more attractive, at least to my idea, is the Mini HTML Helper. Yeah. Sometimes the simplest solutions is what makes me attracted to. It does just a CSS display, like a tooltip functionality.
Yeah.
So sometimes the user experience is what it takes. So this is my vote. Actually, the class is from...
Suresh Khosravi, whatever is, because he's from Iran.
Suresh Khosravi. I'm sorry if I mentioned your name wrong. He's from Iran, and congrats. And this is a very nice, and I've never seen such functionality in CSS. So there goes my kudos to.
Yeah, on my part, I would like to comment. Well, we have many classes being nominated this month. Fortunately, many developers wanted to submit innovative classes, and it's kind of hard just to pick one. But since that's all we have time this month, I would like to mention the name parameters from Stefan Gibril Frohlich. His name sounds a bit German, but in reality, he is from Ghana, and greetings to Ghana and other African countries. It's not we don't have many
contributors, right?
Contributors from African countries, and so it is always good to know that PHP is being used well there. And in this case, name parameters class is basically an attempt basically to emulate something that has been asked, I think several times. From what I could gather, which is basically the possibility to pass parameters to functions by any order, just by specifying their names. This is actually interesting because there are some PHP functions that do not have consistent order in their parameters. Similar functions have a different order, and it gets people confused. And if they could call parameters by passing names, and that would be something that would address these needs. Unfortunately, we do not have much time to comment on the other 10, but everybody that submitted their classes and they were nominated, congratulations to all, and I hope they continue to send more innovative contributions. Now, moving on with our comments on the latest JavaScript objects submitted to the JSCAS repository. Cesar, which one you are going to comment about that you think that would be more worth noticing?
Yes, I would talk about the jQuery form validates, which is a very useful class, because sometimes we want to validate forms in the front end, which is very nice. But this class is given a very simple way. And I find this is a very useful class. I would use it. It's from Emram Ahmed, I believe. He's from Bangladesh. I don't know if I pronounced correctly.
Yeah, well, there is a big community of PHP developers in Bangladesh. It's always great to see them actually submitting classes, not only to the PHP classes, but also to the JS classes site. And Hernani, which one would you like to highlight?
Oh, yes.
This month.
The one that I find most useful here is the TextPad, which is also user interface behavioral class. Basically what it does, it's expand the text area based on some constraints. It's from Artur Zozins from Latvia, yeah. Which has contributed a lot of components here. So kudos, he keeps doing it, and we would like to encourage everybody to do so as well. But it's a very nice class. It does it listens to events triggered when the user types or deletes the text into a text area input. And it's very useful for some situations where space is a must. So that there goes my votes too.
Yeah, on my part, I would like to comment about Spatial Hash from Dino Gambone. Actually, Dino has participated lately in JavaScript podcast, which is a podcast that similar to this one that goes on the JS Classes site. For those who are not familiar with that podcast and are interested in JavaScript topics, go ahead and listen to that podcast as well. And Dino came to the podcast and even talk a bit about this class Spatial Hash, which is basically a class that is useful eventually for using games that you would develop in JavaScript, because what it does is to provide a structure on which two-dimension objects would be stored with their coordinates and sizes, so you can easily determine if an object moves to a different position in the two-dimensional space, it will collide or not with other objects. And this is quite interesting. Well, unfortunately, we do not have much time to talk about other objects in detail, but at least you could mention other objects that were published, like the light source one, also for an artist sausings. Basically, an object for providing a nice effect using CSS properties, showing shadow. Also, corners detector from Michele Andreoli from Italy that deals with determining the accurate coordinates of an object in a page. T-Matrix, also for Arthur Sossins, that deals with CSS transformation matrix. And the one of the remaining, I think we already mentioned all the latest that were published this month of November. Well, basically this concludes our podcast this month. It was very interesting to talk about all the topics, and in particular about this, which is of a great interest, remote work. I'd like to thank you, Cesar, for coming and talking about your experience and the way that the problems that are concerning employers are solved to address particular things of remote work. Cesar, thank you for coming. And also one thing that I also would like to comment, because it's curious, although you live in Paraguay, it's interesting because your accent sounds British. It is quite interesting.
Well, that is because I am a huge fan of a British TV series like the Doctor Who and Monty Python, and I watch them. I mean, like 1 hour at every single day. So that's probably why.
Yeah, that explains it.
Yeah. yes. Basically that. And thank you for this invitation. It was fun, and if you want to invite me once again, I'll be here. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. I think it was awesome, interesting to listen to your insights. Your pronunciation made it quite clear, despite you stutter a bit, but I suppose you are doing simultaneous translation in your mind. That's probably why, I guess.
Probably, yes. I try to think in English as much as possible, but it doesn't work that well while I'm not forced to talk in English all the time, so I think I should move to another country.
Yeah, maybe if you practice a day with other people talking natively in English, that can help. And also thank you, Hernani, for coming. Also, your insights regarding your work, that you also work remotely to your company.
Yeah.
And it's always good to have your opinion. And also, both
it's
the
not my company, although it's not my company. I would like it would be, but I'm just an employer there.
It's just a way of saying that you work there.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not just that you joking about it.
Okay, well, on my part, that's all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.